Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 177, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode177. Today, we are talking marketing. Marketing. So, is that something you use to promote your shows to the community? Do you like marketing? Is it a dirty word? Oh, I hate marketing. Is it something you never think about because, well, you don't have time? You're busy trying to put a show together. If you want to build the reach of your program and build the audience that comes to your shows, marketing is a must. We're in a new age of marketing here in the good old 21st century, and some of those old techniques, they don't work as well anymore. But we're so saturated online. How effective are new techniques? So we're going to talk with Candace McMath and her marketing strategy when she directed my play, Shuddersome Tales of Poe. Let's get to it. All right. Hello, everybody. I am sitting here with Candace McMath. Hello, Candace.
Hey, Lindsay. How are you doing?
I am excellent. How are you today?
I'm great.
Perfect. So tell everybody where in the world you are.
I am in New Philadelphia, Ohio, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere. But if you draw a triangle between Cleveland, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I'm right in the middle of it.
That is perfect. I love knowing where everybody is, who we talk to. But I'm telling you, at least 7 times out of 10, a name of a place is said. And I'm like, well, I don't know where that is. But your visual, I'm a plain old visual learner, so I am picturing the triangle, and it's given me exactly what I need. So, Candace is a you wear a lot of hats.
I do.
I know you as a director. You directed a production of my play Shuddersome, which is something that we are. Which is half of the reason that Candace is here. But you also do graphic design and posters. And what is your true love?
Well, my true love is art. I've always said that I am an artist, a teacher, and a maker of things. So we didn't have a whole lot of money when I was growing up. And so I spent a lot of time entertaining myself. And just if there was something laying around that I could duct tape to something else or hot glue feathers on it, then I did it. So that love of just creating things and being artistic translated into me getting a bachelor's of arts in college. I majored in art because I loved it, and business so I could eat.
So you're smart and creative.
Well, I try to walk the line between the two.
Where does theater fit into this puzzle for you?
Well, theater fits in for me the way I think it fits in for all of us who love to do theater. There's a part of me that just loves to show off, and being able to do what I love and sing and dance or perform on stage for 90 minutes to 2 hours and just get to play dress up and escape and entertain people is one thing I've always really loved it. It's just a really fun escapism to be able to partake in. And, you know, at the end of the day, you go back to your real life, but there's a camaraderie and just a really fun exploration of art that can go on at theater that I've just always tried to keep in my life.
And I totally get the whole notion of the being on stage and what theater really speaks to a lot of people about being on stage. But you also direct. And what does directing do for you?
I do. I'm directing. And so I should probably back up and say I've assistant directed a lot, which plays on my strengths of being really organized. And I love to help other people achieve their visions. So I spent a good 3.5 to 4 years assistant directing. And then I got to a point where I wanted to create my own vision. Like, I wanted to be the one calling the shots. I wanted to be the one in charge. And I wanted to be the one that had that creative control to present you know, something that was from my brain and my vision and put that up on the stage. So I submitted your show, Shuddersome Tales of Poe, to my local community theater, and they selected it for the black box experimental slot for the show, which was fantastic. It was my first show. It was the perfect size. And what I found out at the end of directing was that it was a far more collaborative event than I anticipated. I did not expect for the cast and the crew to fall in love with your show as much as I did. And they absolutely gave their all to it. They told me, you know what, Candace, we know this is your baby and we are not going to let you down and we're not going to let her down. And even at this point, I get a little verklempt trying to talk about it. Like, they were just stellar. And the show ended up being even better than I could have ever imagined because everybody was able to contribute to it.
You know what? It really sounds like your experience was the ultimate in what community theater is supposed to be, right? It is that, yeah, that community feeling.
Yeah, it really was. Because I've done community theater for, 10, 12 years now. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this was definitely like the best show experience I have ever had. They were just wonderful. And the show was successful. And I got to put my vision on stage. And it was just all around a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, I'm so happy to I played a little part in that. I think that's,
yeah, you did.
That's lovely. Oh, and I'm so excited that was your first show. Because let me tell you, you came across as somebody who was, well, your organizational skills were very present.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. And it felt like you've been doing it for a lifelong time. So there
oh,
you go.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
The cast was also really excited that you guys chose three of our production photos to put on the gallery page for Shuddersome. They were so excited on Facebook. They couldn't believe it. So they wanted me to tell you, thank you for picking us.
Oh man. Well, thank you for having wonderful, this is a total two-way street. It's like, you guys stepped up to the plate and it was an easy, easy decision.
Well, thanks.
Okay. So let's get into why we're really here. We're really here and we're going to talk about, marketing and also marketing on publicity of a show. And this is the reason I wanted to have Candace on this podcast, because you kept putting so many cool things, telling me so many cool things about different marketing and publicity ideas that you were trying and that you had. And I just know that there are so many folks who listen to this podcast who struggle in the area of marketing. You know, I know that some people, the community doesn't come to the high school shows, or that it's mostly friends and family, or they have competition from other schools. And I just thought, what a great conversation that we could have about what you did for your marketing and what was successful and maybe things that you might do differently next time. So the first thing I'd like to start with from your director's hat is just to talk about, because I'm thinking that your vision for the show played a part in your vision for your marketing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. But I do want to break in and say, part of the reason that it was so easy for me to get excited about marketing was when we purchased the rights for your show, you had sent an email to us basically inviting us into a dialogue with you. I mean, you were excited that we were doing the show. I was excited to share information. So because you sent that email, it really like opened up a lot of excitement on the production staff. And I mean, it just got us off on, you know, it gave us the green light. We were raring to go from day one. So that worked out really well for us.
That's really cool. Well, I'm always like, just on a complete tangent, I'm thrilled when anybody does one of my shows. I am tickled. I'm like, really? Awesome. That is the best. So it really, and it's whenever I send those emails, I know it's very hard to convey tone in an email, but, when I say, you know, I'm glad. Thank you for choosing my show. I think it's great. That's really nice to hear that was sort of a nice jump start. So, all of you out there, if you can, contact your playwright and
just say thank you because they're wonderful.
Okay. So your vision, what was your vision for Shuddersome?
Okay, well, my vision for Shuttersome was I knew that it would probably be a tough sell in the area where I am. We're in Appalachia, Ohio. They prefer comedies and musicals. And Shuttersome is definitely on the higher end of theater. We have a saying at the community theater was, for any show that we do, you know, it's not art. You know, it's just a comedy. It's just a musical. This is not art. But when I got Shuttersome, I'm like, oh, I can do art. This is art. We can art the heck out of this. And so I knew I wanted it to be black box. We had to keep the set basically stripped down to nothing because since we were in the experimental slot, we rehearsed offsite for all but 4 days before the show opened. So we got the theater 4 days to put up the lights and fix all the staging stuff and then actually do the show for paying customers. So I knew that it had to be simple set-wise in order to enable that. The same thing with publicity, because this was such a different show than what the community around here has seen. I want to say the last drama that was done at that community theater was at least a year ago, if not more, and it was The Crucible. So, you know, we're kind of up against some heavy hitters when it comes to serious stage dramas. That I went, sometimes my brain gets ahead of my mouth, so I'm gonna have to look at my notes here.
You and me both.
So traditionally our theater uses five different methods of marketing. They have posters that go up in the community. There are different like newsletter flyers or radiograms that go out that they put show advertisements in. We have two big banners that get put up in the main communities that surround us. There's some radio spots. We do some radio interviews with the cast. And then there's the newspaper ads and then a couple articles leading up to the production that explains the cast or a little interview with the director, or there's some behind the scenes stuff. If there's like something interesting that's gone on with the show, they'll write an article about it. And then one of the newspapers will usually send a reviewer to the first weekend, and then they'll run their review prior to the second weekend of shows.
So so very traditional. Like this is all this. So the community theater, how old is the community theater?
It is at least 50 years old, but I know it's older than that. I'm not sure when they started, but we've been in our current building for 50 years.
Right.
And they just celebrated their 250th show two seasons ago.
Right. So this is stuff this is marketing that has, always worked for them.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the tried and true. This is the routine. This is what we do. This is how this works. So I knew going into it that just that was not going to be enough. So I tried three new methods with my show that were all fairly cheap, actually. They together the package cost under $200, but you could do it cheaper if you needed to. And each one of them paid out in different ways. So the first thing that I did, knowing that it was a Poe show, knowing that the schools teach Edgar Allan Poe, I did two bulk mailings to our local school districts. So we have 10 different school districts that we can reach with the little theater of Tuscarawas County. You know, there's a bunch of little ones, they're spread out all around, but we have community theater members that are in touch with those schools. They either help with their drama programs or they have kids that go there. So we have a lot of contact there, but I don't feel that our theater has really leveraged that as well as we could have. We tried it with Crucible, got a little bit of response. And so I wanted to start building a relationship and some rapport with the schools to say, this is what we're doing. I did two bulk mailings. Because my show was presented last week of August, first week of September, it was in a really tricky time slot to market to schools because everybody went on summer break at the end of May and they just got back the week that the show opened. So I sent out a mailing in April to the principals, the middle school language arts teachers, the high school language arts teachers, and the drama departments when I knew who they were to those 10 school districts. And I said, listen, this is the show I'm going to be directing next fall. It has all of these Edgar Allan Poe stories in it. Please consider coming. We can offer you a discount for student tickets. We just want you to know this is coming up. I also, in that letter, put a plug in for our summer theater camps that we have. We have a week for high school kids and then a week for elementary to middle school kids that they can come into the theater, see how all the you know official theater stuff works, and they get to work with one of our drama educators. And it's a really great program. Every year, The enrollment has increased on it. And I want to say this year they got upwards of 60 kids for both camps.
Awesome.
Or in both camps. I'm not quite sure. But so we did that marketing piece in April. And then at the beginning, middle of August, so 2 weeks before we opened, I did another mailing to the same schools and the same people, sending student ticket vouchers that the kids could bring in with a can of food, and they could get a discount of $5 off their ticket. And again, just reminding them of the show times. With that mailing too, I also included the list of the shows that were in Shuttersome, and then two sample lesson plans that the teachers could use, you know, incorporating theater into their classroom or writing a theater review, and just to help spark things, you know, maybe this will help some teachers send their kids. The good thing was at four of the school districts, I personally knew the English teachers there. And so they gave their kids extra credit if they came to see the show.
So,
before an extra bonus.
Yeah. I want to highlight a couple of things in here that I really like. First of all, you weren't one and done with trying to create a new relationship with the school
boards. Exactly.
This is something that and mail can be very tricky in terms mm-hmm. of whether or not it's actually going to get into the hands of the people that you want it to. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really awesome that A, you did it two different mailings, and B, that second mailing not only had, so it didn't, you didn't just say, hey, you guys call us and we'll give you vouchers. Here are the vouchers. Give them to your students. All they have to do is XYZ, and then the lesson plans. I think that is the brilliant thing. And I think that's something that high school, you know, if you want your other, you know, your community to come, what is going to get them in the door? And I think with schools, lesson plans are it.
Exactly. I wanted to make it as simple as possible for them to come see the show and benefit from it. So, you know, taking out the excuses of, you know, I don't have this stuff, by, you know, here's the vouchers, here's the lesson plans that you can start with. I think that both of the lesson plans included which state standards they met. And so, like, that was really easily highlighted so they could see, you know, it meets standard 6A, 6B, yada, yada, yada. And I totally agree with you. That's the building the relationship. You have to reach out multiple times. I heard once that it's like anywhere between 5 and 7 interactions before an ad is actually effective.
Yep.
for a company. So that was why I definitely wanted to do two mailings. I probably would have done more, but again, with the time frame that I had, school was out for the summer from June through the beginning of August. Yeah. So it was kind of pointless to try to keep sending things to people who weren't there.
No, and it's interesting because we do just in terms of a marketing mm-hmm. idea of more is actually, we think that more is a bombardment, but 5 to 7 is exactly right. When we do email marketing campaigns, it's 5 to 7 emails that go out within a week time, and a percentage of people who like contact us and say, stop spamming us or whatever, is so small.
Yep.
It's like, it's just comparatively, now obviously there's some people who don't open those emails and blah, 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 but that's something to, when you're thinking about marketing, I don't think about bothering them. You're not bothering them.
Yes.
We're in that world now.
Exactly. And I had to get over that fear of I was bothering people by advertising my show.
Yeah.
So it was a learning experience for that. So the student discount tickets, like I said, we offered $5 off for the theater. That cost me the paper to print the tickets on and the postage to send the mailings. So, you know, for about, I think it ended up being around $45 total to put that whole package together and send it out. It ended up getting us 34 student tickets, which I would have been happy with anything over 5. So
right.
I was really pleased with 34. And then we tied it to a food drive for our local food pantry. So they had to bring in the student ticket voucher and a canned food item. They donated 65 cans of food. So
yeah.
Most of the kids brought in more than what they needed, which was pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. And now you've done, now hopefully that's a start, and that you've put something in place so the next person who's going to come and maybe try and do that the little theater's name might be on people's minds.
Exactly.
That's what
that's
it's all
what
about
I was
too.
Hoping.
Yeah. That's what it's all about too. It's just, you know, sometimes it's people get frustrated that the first time they try something out of the gate, that it isn't this amazing success, because I think that's the other thing, is that it takes time for people to remember your name.
Exactly. Well, like I said, we did The Crucible first, and then they did a production of Charlotte's Web that also went out and did a little, they did some scenes from the show in the elementary schools in the area, and that worked out really well for them. And so, you know, that show hit the elementary crowd. I'm going in and trying to reach the middle school and high school crowd. So I'm hoping that by doing all of those touches that it gets the students more involved in the theater and their community.
Awesome. All right. So that was number one.
That was number one.
Number two.
Number two was the use of social media and paid advertisement. So what we did was I contacted our marketing chair for the theater, and I said, hey, Kate, I need you to do some Facebook advertising for me. So she spent $100 for the run of the show to run the paid advertisements on Facebook. And that led to 135 ticket purchases. That's not to say that it was just one ticket each time. It could have been like somebody going in to buy four tickets. So, but those ads led to 135 clicks that ended up being ticket sales.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that's it was great. Pretty good. We've had a lot of success with that with some of the past shows. So that's going to become more mainstream in the theater's marketing plan, I think.
Well, it's like where your because then the thing to think about with social media is, where are your customers' eyeballs, right?
Exactly.
Where are they? At Theater Folk, our customers are on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they, a lot of them go, a lot of them live.
Yeah.
Put a little tent there. No. And so that's where Facebook marketing is that it can be a really excellent tool. And I think people need to get over the fact that Facebook isn't, that whole notion that the organic reach isn't as much as it used to be, and we're not getting people's feeds, and it's like, oh, why do we have to pay for it? Because it works.
Exactly. It does work. So the paid advertising, I want to say, because it was with our Facebook page, it also tied to the theater's Instagram account.
Yes.
But what I did is I'm a visual thinker. I'm a visual learner. So I Instagrammed just so much with this show. Like if you look at my Instagram feed from about April through the end of September, it was all Shuttersome, and that was all it was. So I had a contest among the cast to create a show hashtag. And so they went, and the hashtags that they submitted to me with all the different puns on the name Poe was just hilarious. It was like the best part of the first week of rehearsals. So we decided on the hashtag, the more you Poe. And so for everything that I posted or that the kids posted, I mean, you could put a lot of other hashtags with it, but the more you Poe was the one that we stuck with for everything. And so they would take pictures in the community with posters. They staged photos. They had like big hashtag signs that had the more you Poe on it, and would do just all sorts of crazy stuff. And then they posted it on their own social media. So that reached all of their friends. So that was a huge amount of fun. What we did with that then was afterwards, I gave out what we called the Edgar Awards. So I got little Oscar statuettes, and we came up with all these different categories to award cast members. So there was, you know, best hashtag,
yeah,
best stage photo, best Vine video. And so we had 8 different awards that we gave out throughout the production. I awarded one a night during the company meeting. And it was a nice like way to tie a bow on the entire experience. So they got an Oscar statuette and then a $5 gift card to Dairy Queen.
Well, what a great incentive, right? Like, I think I love the idea of getting your cast to create the hashtag and then also acknowledging it by, you know, what a great thing to do during a company meeting is to give out Oscars. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah, it was super fun. And they actually got really competitive about it. I was kind of surprised. I figured they would think, oh yeah, this is kind of silly. We'll do it maybe. But oh no, they were kind of cutthroat about it. So
okay,
that worked out really
awesome.
Well. So the last thing that I did was actually my favorite one. And we called it, well, they were community previews. And for copyright reasons, we knew we couldn't do parts of the show without charging tickets for it. But luckily for us, Poe has so many works that weren't in your play. So we advertised different poetry readings at community venues. So we did 2 at different libraries, and then we did 1 at our local arts center. And so it was on a volunteer basis by the cast. They signed up if they wanted to come, and we read, I think it was five different poems of Edgar Allan Poe that weren't in the show, and then we would read a short story. So one night we did excerpts from Pit and the Pendulum. One night we did excerpts from Cask of Amontillado. One night we did The Black Cat. And so that we would invite the community in and say, you know, this is a taste of what you could see at our show. We have other things that you're not going to see here tonight that will be at the theater. So come out and see us. And those were attended. The first one had five people. The second one had 25. And the last one had 30. So it was a lot of fun to be able to get out and market with the community, work with the libraries, talk with the art center, and just really start to create some dialogue about the different types of shows that we can do with the theater.
That's awesome. And also, it's very helpful that Poe has so much other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can, this is the atmosphere, this is the mood, this is the tone, but you're not giving away the show.
Exactly.
Ah, I love that. I love that. That was one of my favorite ones as well, even just as a bystander, just looking at the emails that you sent. So you feel that you're, there's a couple other things that you've done too, because you did a trailer.
Yes, I did.
And where did that live and how did you use that?
What that did was it lived on, well, my Facebook page, and then you guys so nicely shared it, which was pretty exciting for me. I'm like, hey, look, I'm getting like, you know, legitimate street cred here. Something I created is being shared by a publisher. This is cool. and then our marketing chair for the Little Theater shared it on the theater's social media. It was on the theater's webpage for the show. It was on the page where you could buy tickets. And again, it was just, I wanted something to kind of spark some interest, set that creepy tone. It's not something that you see a lot of with the shows, but you see movie trailers all the time. So, you know, why not capitalize on that? So we did I called it the Nervous trailer, which was the opening line from Telltale Heart. And then we also did one that was cast rehearsal footage. And it was them doing their theater exercises when we were really working on the shutter movement and like the creepy zombie stalking, but they all don't look like they came from The Walking Dead kind of thing. And I was able to match up those theater game exercises with some other underscore music that we used in the production that, again, just showed the creepy tone, showed what was coming, and, you know, drummed up excitement for the show.
Well, I think that's something that everyone can capitalize on in terms of marketing. It's like you have to rehearse, right? And that whole notion of what's going on behind the scenes of a place, I think everybody is interested in those kinds of sneak peeks.
Oh, yeah. I'm such a nerd for stuff like that. I love behind the scenes features. I always end up watching those before I watch the movie when I buy the DVD. So I wanted to put a little bit of that in with this show, too.
Awesome. Okay. So a whole bunch of different types of marketing going on here, using different mediums, using a mix of traditional and a mix of stuff that you've never done before. So let's go as we're reaching the end here. So let's go with, I think that you're going to say, just because of what you've already said it. So I'm not like a brain surgeon here, but that the poetry readings, you felt that was you liked that the most in terms of your marketing.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Partially because the material that we got to share wasn't in the show. So I got to expose more people to more Edgar Allan Poe than they might see originally. Specifically, we included Annabelle Lee, it was actually one of the cast's favorite poems, and they were very sad it wasn't in the actual production. So we got to perform that. It was also really cool to be able to go out into the community and represent the theater and show what we do in a way that they haven't really seen before. You know, sometimes we're in the community asking for donations for lighting, or, you know, we're representing another charity where, you know, the theater will go and participate in Relay for Life. But it's very rare that we're actually in the community still doing theater activities, but we're not at the theater. If that makes any sense.
It makes total sense. And I think that's something to put out there for people listening too. If you want the community to come to your shows, the community has to know who you are. Mm-hmm. and know who you are and know what you do. And to get out into the community really is the only way to make people aware of you.
Exactly. They're not going to necessarily come in on their own, but yeah. It's a lot easier if you make an actual connection face to face with somebody, or if you're able to kind of test the waters and watch a little bit and then say, oh, I really like that. I would like to come and go and see the full show.
Yeah, totally. Okay. And what would you say if there was something that you tried that you would do differently? What would you say?
Okay. I would push the community previews a bit further, actually. We were able to offer a door prize raffle at the community previews. So we gave away 2 tickets to the show. For people who showed up, it was a door prize drawing. One of the libraries actually went way above and beyond, and they put in other prizes for the door prize. So we were giving out mugs and blankets and all sorts of cool stuff at that one. So that was great. But I would try to do them in places where you might not think the theater would go. So for instance, we had a community preview lined up with a local winery, and we were going to do a poetry reading that night. And there was a scheduling conflict where there was a band playing the same night we were supposed to be there. So we backed off and said, oh, that's okay. You know, we'll try it another time. There is a couple of different coffee houses that again do open mic nights that we could have, I wish I would have had the foresight in planning the show to allow some more time to do some more community previews. But it was my first show. We had kind of a shortened rehearsal period. We had 6 weeks to put the show together, 4 days in the theater, and then 8 days over 2 weeks to actually perform the show. So I think if I had a full rehearsal time slot, you know, I could do some more interesting things, you know, with the community previews, with maybe sending the group that did the poetry readings into a school, if they would let us come into English classes and, you know, read a couple poems for them, answer some questions about the show. That would have been really cool to have been able to try.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. And what would you say to someone who is terrified of marketing and it's not quite sure where to start? What piece of advice would you give to someone as a good first step for marketing their show?
I would definitely make sure that you connect with somebody on your production staff that is an extrovert, because I am not. And I had all these ideas. I knew what I wanted to do. And the thought of actually making all the phone calls terrified me. So I connected with the guy who actually ended up being my lighting designer, is wonderful at marketing and is a great people person. I explained to him what I wanted, and then I just let him go do it. And it worked out fabulously. So don't let your own personal fears stop you from doing something. Community theater is community for a reason. So form your community and play off the strengths of the other people that you work with.
Awesome. Fantastic. Candace, thank you so much for talking to me today. I knew that this was going to be a fascinating look at something that is really important to get your show in front of as many people as you want. You do all that hard work and, you know, we need that audience, right?
Exactly. Yes.
That's what we need. Oh, yep. So thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you for calling me. I was really excited that you wanted to speak. So thanks.
Thank you, Candace. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. It's a play feature. It's a play feature. It's time to feature a play. So we've been talking about marketing Shuddersome Tales of Poe. Let's talk about Shuddersome Tales of Poe, the play. Edgar Allan Poe wrote some wonderful, creepy, scary, macabre stories and poems, and they are the source material brought to life in this theatrical adaptation. This pretty great theatrical adaptation, if I do say so myself. I'm going to say so myself. I think it's great. This play was actually a huge challenge to write. Poe writes in a way where it's the single reader's imagination that takes charge in their interaction with the story. And in a play, we can't be inside everybody's head at the same time. We want the staging and theatricality to do the work as opposed to what Edgar is doing. And that's not the same technique. And while I wanted to make the adaptation definitely a play and not a story, at the same time, you know, I had to stay true to Poe's intention. And it was, the challenge of the year when I was writing that play. And I'm really happy with the outcome. And, you know, it's creepy and scary and a little macabre. So in this adaptation are included some really well-known stories, The Telltale Heart, The Raven, The Mask of the Red Death, and more. You can get a copy of Shuddersome Tales of Poe by going to theaterfolk.com or by clicking the link in the show notes, which is theaterfolk.com/episode177. And are you doing one of Theater Folk's plays? Are you doing a production of Shuddersome? Take a rehearsal picture and send it to us. Working on a monologue in the classroom? Take a picture, send it to us. Are you a member of the Drama Teacher Academy and you're using one of our exercises? Take a 30-second video and send it to us. We want to showcase you on Facebook. We want to brag about what you do. So where do you send all this? tfolk@theaterfolk.com. Finally, where, oh, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word theaterfolk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.